Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, there's people here. Good to see everybody. Appreciate you coming to today's service. Visitors, we're so glad you joined us, and we want you to feel welcome in today's service. As you can see by what's been prepared here before us, today is our communion day. And so as we move forward through the service, be thinking about that, you know, that ultimate sacrifice, if you would. And while we think upon those things, let's turn in our yellow book to number 12, a well-known song very much related to that service. All right, turn over a couple pages to number 14. Number 14.
Thank you. Rachel, for the good playing this morning, the good songs. Welcome to the church this morning. Let's come in, let's worship the Lord this morning. We are glad to see each and every one that's made your way out to the house of the Lord today. We are glad to see you. We've got some faces we haven't got to see in a while, and we're glad that you are here today. And just thankful that the Lord has blessed us today with your presence today. I look around and I realize there's always those that, they're glad to be in church. And then we have those that, like we are sometimes, that, I just really don't feel like being here, but I came out to the house of the Lord. Well, today is a special day, and it's a day that we aren't to take it as a very special, serious day. And it ought to just lift us up very greatly in our hearts today, because today in our service, and we try to do this just about every Sunday, we try to remember the Lord. We try to worship Him. But today we take a part of an ordinance today that is special in the Lord's eyes. Because He said, you're going to take a piece of bread, unleavened bread, and it's going to symbolize my body. And then He said, you're going to take a little bit of the fruit of the vine, and you'll take that, and it's going to represent my blood. And He said, do this in remembrance of me. So when we come into the house of the Lord, whether we're just so over enthusiastic to be here, or if it's one of those days we are just kind of feeling like, well, I just don't know today. It's a good day for us to be in the house of the Lord just to remember what Jesus did. Brother Stewart did a good job in our lesson today, and he was bringing out basically a lot of what was in that last song, being unworthy. Now, he didn't use the words unworthy, but he talked about us being still sinful. And we are. We're never perfect. I listen to some preachers on the radio or on television, and they'll talk about always keeping up a good, and what I'm going to say is a good face. I think they tend to think that they are without sin, is what I think they tend to think. But as long as we are in this body, we're going to deal with sin. We're going to deal with temptations. We're going to deal with, and let's just say it this way, lusts that are there. Whether it's something big and fancy, or maybe it's that piece of chocolate cake. That's a lust. And those things, if we put that between us and God, then we have sinned. And that's what we need to remember. But there's going to come a time in this service today, I hope we can just completely clear our mind of everything in the world. And I know that's hard to do. I do. I realize it's hard to get everything out of our minds. I know some of you haven't felt well this week. And when you come into church service and maybe you've got no, well, sinus problems, maybe you've had a headache on and off all week, this front's been terrible, hasn't it? And maybe you still got just a little touch of that. But when you get down to the part we're going to get to later on, and I know it's hard, just put all that aside and get your mind on Jesus and think about what He did for you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. We'll close this service out different than we usually do. When we get done with the Lord's Supper this morning, we'll do as the Lord did. He said He sang a hymn and they went out, and that's what we'll do. So there won't be a time for our usual announcements at the end. So if you want to hear these announcements, you better pay attention this morning. Joyful Hearts will meet on Friday here at the church. That's where we all, everybody that can come in at 11 o'clock. It doesn't matter the age. I think a lot of people have in their minds it's just the gray-headed people. But I'm not gray-headed. Oh, yeah, I better back that up, Hannah. it is for everybody to come and just have fellowship together. It's a potluck dinner, and that's always good in a Baptist church. Ham will be is already volunteered, but everybody come and enjoy. We'll have our Easter celebration next Sunday. We'll have lunch provided here at the church for everybody. If you want to bring something, bring a dessert is the idea for this service here and our dinner for our Easter celebration. And then, of course, the next Sunday we will be celebrating Easter, as it is called in our language today. And so we'll keep that in mind, these things that are coming up in our church here in the next few weeks. But we just really want to keep on our minds our Lord and Savior is what we want to do. And let's just be prayerful for one for another in this service today. I'll be quiet and let's go on with our service today. If we can, kids, let's come right over here and let's talk a little bit for Children's Church this morning. Come right over here. Come on, Stevie. You're not that big. You can come on and be with us. Come on, kids. Good morning, all. Let me get down here to y'all's level. Is that okay? Okay. I've been talking about the special day we have up here. You see the table, and you see it's covered. We keep it covered, well, just to keep germs and things out, but it's also something for us to remember. Okay, there's two things that are up here on the table today. Who can tell me one of those things that are up there that we'll partake of? I mentioned it a minute ago. Was anybody listening to me a while ago? Two things. There'll be a little piece of bread and then a little cup of the fruit of the vine. Grape juice, if you would. Okay, who's going to be brave enough to tell me what the bread represents? Go ahead. The body of who? Jesus, right. That's what we want to remember. It's not his actual body, but it represents it. A lot of times we just take things and it'll bring back a memory, kind of like a picture. Y'all have photographs at home, don't you, or in a phone or something like that you go back to remember a good time, right? Vacation. Maybe it was an honor that you got in school, an award you got. In Hope's case, it's like her being on stage. You see those pictures of her, and it's a great memory. Us grandparents, we like to have those pictures just to remember those things. Now, the other thing that is up there is what? What did I say it was? Fruit of the vine, right? We use grape juice, don't we? The reason why we use grape juice is because it is a fruit of the vine, is what the scripture calls it. And that fruit of the vine represents what? Jesus' blood. Thank you. Those two things is what made it possible for us to get saved. The fact that Jesus gave his body, all of it, there on the cross of Calvary. He gave it all there. And not only did he do that, but he gave all of his blood. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No forgiveness, no taking away sin without the shedding of blood. So Jesus had to give his blood because, you know, the blood, that's the life of the body. The body can't live without blood. So that blood, that was why he had to give that up. give his blood. That was showed that he gave his life completely for us. So in this day, what we're doing is remembering how Jesus gave his body and gave his blood for us that we might be saved. That's the thing that we are to remember today. You that are saved and have joined the church, you can partake of this Lord's Supper today. It was given to the church that we might observe this in remembrance of Jesus. That's our responsibility as God's church, to show the world that Jesus died for him. But like everything else, sometimes we need a reminder. And that's what this service is about today, is to remind us that Jesus gave his body and gave his blood that we might be saved. Okay, any thoughts? I'll turn you loose. Thank you all for your attention. I locked the guy down, didn't I? Need to learn to pick my feet up. At least I didn't do like I did a couple of weeks ago. I was coming down the steps back in the back, and I went landed on my knees, my hands, and my face. And that was not good. I even flattened my glasses out right good, so at least I've done better today. Let's keep this in our minds today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want you to be prayerful for me, first of all, that as I've said so many times, this is a special service. And whenever we do the ordinances of the church, I want to make sure that they're done right. Whenever we baptize somebody, I watch, because we do a complete burial. That's what a baptism is. I want them to be completely under. I've watched people get baptized and a hand pop up, never go under. I've seen legs never get under or whatever. So I want it to be right. When we do this here today, I want it to be right. So I want you to pray for me today, both for message and this part too. So keep that in mind. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart this morning? Lord help you. Lord help. Let's remember this man. It's a very serious situation there. So let's do remember him in our prayers. Somebody else have a prayer request? I want us to remember Brother Key. Miss Shirley's here. Brother Key is not. That's unusual. Brother Key is having trouble with his hip. He hurt it the other day. My understanding is they're afraid that his replacement from years ago is needing replacing again. So keep him in your prayers, if you would. Miss Faye got a good report the other day, but still has a ways to go. We want to remember her in our prayers. I talked with Miss Nettie the other day. She's had a very bad, and she called it a cold. She sounded terrible, but we need to remember her in our prayers also. Let's do remember our lost. They should be primary on our hearts and minds. They need to get saved. Any sickness that we have is bad. It is. Any sickness is bad. But somebody that's lost, that's the ones that needs the most help right now, because they're in danger of a hell fire. And we need to remember them in our prayers. I'll add one other thing. We discussed it this morning in our meeting. About the helper. We made a motion last week for our helper for revival. And I want to be led of the Lord in this. And I pray that everything will work the way God wants it to. So let's be prayerful for the ones that might, the one that we need for our helper in revival. So keep that in mind, please. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? We'll call on one as we always do, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Brad, if you would you lead us in prayer, please?
Continue our song service. Turn to number 31, the bottom of the page, 31. What a friend. Thank you. For our last number, we'll do number 33. Just turn the page. 33. I know I'm saved. Thank you, choir.
Appreciate the good singing. I always appreciate the choir coming up and singing with us. And I'll just say, if you'd like to come up and sing with them, don't wait for an invitation. Just come on up and join them. You'll get a blessing out of it, and everybody will get to hear you sing. And somebody might say, well, I don't sing that well. I don't need to be up there with them. And I guess the way I always put it is the Lord hears something different than what we hear. And he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I like for the singing to be in harmony and everything. But I tell you, what the Lord loves to hear is that joyful sound coming from our hearts is what he loves to hear. So keep that in mind today. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? As I said, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. It is for those that have been baptized into the church. We here at Murfreesboro, I'll go ahead and state this, I'll state it later, but we observe what is called a close communion, and we invite people that have been baptized into old-fashioned missionary Baptist churches. We invite you to join along with us is what we invite you to do. And so if that's what the Lord wants you to follow along with today, we'll give you that opportunity a little bit later on. But we believe it's something just for the old-time Baptist church that we observe this in our services today. And so keep that in mind. But let us all observe the Lord today in this service. This message will be a little bit different. Turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Numbers. The 9th chapter of the book of Numbers today. The basis for the Lord's Supper was the Passover Supper. I don't remember if it was when we observed the Lord's Supper in October or last April, but I think I got into that quite a bit in one of my messages in the past times. But this one will be just a little bit different in this today. The Passover, of course, was the time of the sacrifice that was made for the children of Israel while they were still in Egypt. And what they had to do was to take a lamb and put him up for a week, and then they slew it, and they took the blood, and they put the blood over the doorpost and on each side, on each doorpost on each side, and over the lintel across the top. And that was a sign to the death angel that these people were trusting in the Lord. Now, you don't hear it phrased that way many times, but that was really what it was. It was a sign to the death angel not to enter in that house because these people were trusting in the Lord at this time. Now, after it was done, the Lord told Moses, he said, every year at this same time, and it was at the first month of the year, in the first month, their month was different from, their calendar was different from ours, where we start ours in January in winter. They started it basically as what you would call springtime. And that was observed in the first month on the 14th day was what the way it was conducted. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, and you'll see early in the early part of this 9th chapter, God tells Moses, he says, it's the first month on the 14th day, you'll observe the Passover. Now, there was a group of people that had been defiled, and if you'll notice, if you read a little further down, They had been defiled because of dead bodies. They were not allowed to partake of the Passover. Now, what that meant was somebody in their family had passed away, and they had touched them, and there was a certain time of cleansing that they had to go through in order to be observe this Passover. And because of that, they were not able to partake. So they came to the Lord. They had a great desire to take of the Passover. They wanted to remember what God done for them. But because of the death of that loved one and that fact, they were not able to partake of the Passover. They weren't allowed to even come to the tabernacle because of this uncleanness. So when this question came up, they came to Moses and they said, "Moses, we still want to remember. We want to partake. We want to bring our sacrifice. Can we partake of it now?" And he went to the Lord with it. That should always be our go-to. You should go to the Lord on any question. My son-in-law taught my daughter a really good lesson. Taught me a good one too. A lot of times, we kind of take it for granted and we'll make our decisions. Well, she was getting ready to make a decision one day before they got married, and he said, "Just go pray about it." Good advice. So I'd done it, but I didn't really verbalize it that much. So if you have a problem, you take it to the Lord. That's what Moses did. And the Lord came back in the 9th verse, and he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity," meaning of your family, "shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off." In other words, they were traveling, and they were not at the tabernacle itself. And he said, "Yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month." They were allowed to do it on the second month is what he was allowed. "At evening, in other words, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs," is what it said. That's our reading lesson, verses 9 through 12 today. For our reading lesson, I received this thought a couple of weeks ago, and just thinking about it, it coming up, these verses kind of popped into my mind. This phrase of a bitter herb is not found in anywhere else in the Bible except for one other place, and that was when it was instituted there in Egypt, and it was considered a part of the Passover. They were to have the unleavened bread, they were to have the lamb that was slain, and they were to eat it with bitter herbs is what they were supposed to do. Now, in the Lord's Supper, we have the unleavened bread. We do not have a lamb, and that reason is the Lamb of God was slain for us. So we do not have to sacrifice a lamb for our sins today as these people were doing on the Day of Atonement for the Passover. We do not have to have that Lamb of God. Most every Christian has that understanding in their life. But what about the bitter herbs that it was talking about today? As I said, this message is going to be just a little bit different today than what you would normally hear as far as a Lord's Supper sermon is concerned, because the bitter herbs were a vital part of the Passover. And there is a reason, just like we do not have a lamb in this today, there is a reason why we don't observe the bitter herbs of this also. While I was up at Bowling Green here a while back, I was talking to a preacher that is much more educated than I am. And he being in the city, he has the opportunity to talk to different individuals. And I just leaned over and to him, and we had talked to, in one of our lessons. It was brought up about the Lord's Supper and the Passover. And in the Passover, I just leaned over and I said, I'm sure that you've had the opportunity to talk to someone of the Jewish faith and how they observe the Lord's the Passover now. I'm trying to get them mixed up, aren't I? But the idea was, you've talked to them about it. He said, yes, the very Orthodox ones, they still observe it very strenuously as far as the Passover is concerned. They have a lamb. They don't get a perfect lamb. They just get a lamb to eat is what they do. They also, in that day, they will have the bitter herbs with it. Now, the bitter herbs in what he told me was usually something like horseradish. Now, most of us don't really eat a lot of horseradish unless you go to one of the restaurants and you get a blooming onion or onion rings, and they'll bring you out a little dipping sauce, and it has a lot of horseradish in it. Now, in my research, they had other herbs that were very bitter, hot, if you would. They were intended to bring out a little bit of pain. If you're like me and you don't particularly like a lot of hot food, that's bitter in our mouth. The bitter herbs in that time was actually meant to show the bitterness of their captivity that they were in. The children of Israel were slaves, right? They had people that were standing over them that said, you live here. You do not pass this place here. You cannot have whatever you want to eat. This is what you're going to get to eat. When it comes to work, you're going to do this job, and if you don't do it right, we're going to beat you into submission until that you do that job like I want you to. That was the portion of being a slave for the children of Israel. And that's just a very small part of what they went through. But this was to remind them of their bitterness of slavery. How that they were delivered from Egypt, from that bondage that they were in there in Egypt. It was meant for them to remember the bitterness of it all. How troublesome it was in that day. The only other time in the these first three or four books, and I should say, in the book of Exodus through Deuteronomy, it is in the early part of Exodus when it says, and they cried out for the bitterness of their souls. The bitterness of their souls, meaning that they were troubled, they were sorry, they were in such great pain for their slavery in that day. Now, I want to bring this back to a spiritual thought to you today, and I will eventually get to the part of about why we don't have bitter herbs in our Lord's Supper today. The fact that I want to go to, first of all, is found in the 18th chapter of the book of Psalms. And you'll remember the words of David, if you would. And this is familiar verses unto you. And he says, David says in the third verse, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, David was talking about his enemies in that day, physical enemies, but in your day today, you have spiritual enemies in this world. We consider them to be Satan first and foremost that you're going to deal with in your life. If you're a sinner in the eyes of God, Satan has you in his bondage. Right now is where he's got you. You're the same as a slave unto sin in that day. And you have a great big enemy in him. But understand there's other enemies out there. Those enemies that are out there are those that would keep you from trusting in God. They may be friends. They may be acquaintances around you. They may be family members that may say, well, there's no sense in you trusting in the Lord. He can't help you in this time. That's what a lot of people will say. There's other enemies out there that will tell you that you can be saved only by baptism or by joining a particular church or by living a good life in that day. Brother Stewart was talking this morning in our lesson and talking about how Jesus was perfect and how he lived sin free in that day. And he asked the question, who could stand for our sins? Well, the thought that I want to bring to your mind today is this: who else can you find throughout all of history that could take your sins upon you? Your sins upon him. And I just said, out of the Bible, there's many good men that are in the Bible, men and women in the Bible. But I want to ask you, which one of them was perfect? Who would you think could take your place as far as sin is concerned? He said, who do you have in mind? Well, first of all, I thought about Moses. He was a man like unto God, wasn't he? He was the friend of God. Surely he was a man that was without sin, wasn't he? No, we find out that he took credit for some things and didn't obey God like he should have. Somebody else said John the Baptist is what they said. You know what John the Baptist did? He questioned who Jesus was when it got down to it, didn't he? He sent men to Jesus and said, are you the one or should we send somebody else? He doubted about Jesus. Somebody else said Noah. Noah was a man who found grace in the eyes of God. And what the scripture said, after he got out of the ark, he planted him a vineyard, he got himself drunk, and he got himself into a terrible shape with his family, is what he did. Nobody in the Bible is perfect and without sin but Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that you can turn to, because he's not your enemy. He's the one that wants to save you in the bitterness of your soul. If you go back over there to the reading lesson there in Numbers, I want you to notice something just for a minute. I meant to bring this out earlier, but it says bitter herbs, that is what's there. But if you look at that herbs, it is in italics, and it was added in, was what it was, by the interpreters. It wasn't in the original writings there. So why am I worried about that? Well, they knew in the Jewish people that they had that custom of using those herbs to represent their bitterness. So why don't we have herbs in our Lord's Supper? Well, David went on to say, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about, and the snares of death prevented me. Now, I want you to think about something today. What did I say about those people, the Israelites? What was they going through there in Egypt? They were in sorrow. They were in pain. They were in trouble in their life. They had no will to do in their life as the way that God would have them to do. They really were not even allowed to worship God in that day. They had to worship the gods of Egypt if they worshiped anything. So those people that really did worship God, they forgot about those idols that Egypt said you worship. So it brought them much sorrow, didn't it? He says here, the pains of hell got hold on me. When you are a sinner in the sight of God, and I know this myself because I went through it, I got to a place where that I was in sorrow. I was sorrow. I was hurting. I was in pain. You can call it physical pain. You can call it mental pain. You can call it spiritual pain. But I'm going to tell you something. When sin gets rough on you and you're really caught up in the captivity of sin, it's rough. You feel like you're just ready to go into the devil's hell right then. What do you do about it at that time? David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. You know what happened to me that night that I got saved? When I was in so much trouble, when I was in so much sorrow, when I was in so much pain, there came a time that I cried out to God, and he heard my cry, and he delivered me out of my bitterness. The bitterness of my soul, he delivered me out of that. He cleansed my soul is what he did in that day. I want you to go with us unto the book of Romans just for a moment here. Book of Romans in the sixth chapter is where we're going here today. In the sixth chapter and starting with verse 6, Paul writes this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. What does that mean? He was crucified, that old man, that sinful man. He was talking to people that was already saved, was what he was talking about. But what he meant in that day, our sins, our sin that we had, Jesus took it upon his own self. You know, when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and they had that tabernacle there, they had the Day of Atonement, and they had a certain sacrifice that they were supposed to bring unto the Lord in that day. And it consisted of two goats in that day. Now, there was a bullock and a lamb later on, bullock first, but I'm not going to get into the bullock so much because it was for the high priest himself. But the two goats that they had, I always kind of thought about the goats. I wondered why these two goats were there. You know, everything else is a lamb or a bullock, and it we all kind of look at goats and we think they stink, don't we? They do. My daddy used to have sheep, ain't the best smelling things there was, but goats stink. Goats are mean. I had a pet one when I was a kid. If you turned your back on that thing, it'd butt you in the back end just as sure as anything. Just out of the mean. He just thought it was fun to hit you like in the rear is what he did. He'd do it to your front, to your face too. That's the way sin is. But they bring those two goats up there and they cast a lot. They chose between the two. And one got to be a scapegoat. And what that was, the priest would put his hands on that goat. And he'd put his hands there and he'd start to confess the sins of the people of Israel unto that goat. Now you might say, well, what good did that do? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. The The other goat, he was slain. He was slain and his blood was brought into the temple, carried all the way into the holiest of holies. And that goat, his blood was shed for the people in that day. You see, that's what Jesus did in that day. But that goat that was called the scapegoat, you know what he did? He had them sins confessed to him. And then a strong man, it said. Now that represents the Spirit of God. The strong man would take that goat and he'd lead him off out into the wilderness is what he would do. And he would take him out just as far as he could go. And he'd turn him loose. And that goat was never to be seen again. That's the way our sins are. When Jesus took our sins upon him, his blood was shed for us that we might have eternal life. But our sins are taken out into the wilderness, never to be seen ever again. But as the Bible tells us, he cast it off into the deep. I heard somebody talking the other day, and they was talking about the depths of the ocean. And they went down as far as 10,000 feet, and they talked about the certain creatures that lived in that place. Then they went down to 20,000 feet, and they talked about a few more that lived down there. They went down, I think it was over 58,000 feet. I may be wrong about the depth, the deepest place of the ocean, but God said that he casts our sin down into the depths of the sea. And what he meant, that they're cast completely out of sight. Here in Romans, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, Jesus taking his sins upon him, is what he said, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, we are saved by his grace. We shouldn't serve sin ever again, but we do. I say that because we're still human beings. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, a lot of people would have a question about that and say, does that mean I've got to die to be freed from sin? In a certain sense, you're right. But you've got to die with Christ. You've got to put your life on the line with Christ. You've got to give up yourself to Jesus to allow him to carry your sins to the cross. He carried them anyway, but you've got to want him to carry them. He said, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ was raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over us. You know what dominion means? It means it has no more rule over you. For anybody that's been saved by the grace of God, oh, we dread the sting of death. We're not looking forward to it as far as wanting to get on a bus and go right now. But I don't dread death. You know why? I know where I'm going. I know that Jesus gave his life for me, that I trusted in him, that he took that sin and he carried it and he buried it away. And I, my soul's been cleaned up for that reason. And because of that, I know that I'm going to live evermore. Is what I'm going to do. Now, if you go over to the second chapter of Ephesians, and we want to look at just a couple of verses over here, starting with verse 8. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. His mercy has to come into play because we're not worthy of salvation today. We're in that bitterness of sin. How many of you have ever worked with somebody or been around somebody that was just bitter all the time? oh my goodness, they just hateful. You just couldn't hardly stand to be around them because they was always grumbling. They was always talking about other people in those ways. How many of us have ever been in that shape? But you had mercy on them. Not many of us will we? But God looked at us as being like that goat. Old, hateful goat, stinking, full of sin, full of his own ways, ready to turn on you in a heartbeat. That's us. That's why it was a goat. We're just goats in God's eyes when we're sinners. But he says over here in this verse, he had mercy on us and loved us. Now, I want you to get this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. His unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You're a sinner. Or you were a sinner for us that are saved today. You see, all of that was taken away. That bitterness was taken away. You was made alive inside is what you was. You was made alive with Christ in that day. He said that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches, his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now I'm getting ready to wind this thing up, and I want you to go to 1 Peter, the second chapter, or first chapter, excuse me. Second chapter. 1 Peter, second chapter. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. This service today is about his suffering. We that are saved, we're no longer in that bitterness of sin. We're no longer feeling that trouble, that sorrow, that pain of sin. Those sins have been cast away. That's why we don't have anything bitter here. We just have two things. Because in those two things, we were quickened. That means made alive. And not just for this lifetime, but forevermore. Forevermore. Not just until we die and for another lifetime, but as long as God lives, we live. And what does the Bible say about God? He is from everlasting to everlasting, meaning he is without end, not a beginning, not an ending. And we are in the same shape. He said, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The reason why we are not in bitterness today is because that Jesus had all the bitterness of it. I want you to think about something for just a few minutes. This day is a day of remembrance for us. It's not a day for us to be in bitterness of soul. It's a day for us to be in joy. To be in peace and in harmony. Because God has saved our souls. Now I want you to think about something. I said the sorrows of death got hold of him. Do you remember what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He was dreading death. He was dreading what he was fixing to do. You know, when it comes down to sorrows, you know, I think he got a good foretaste of it when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, short of scripture that we all learned as children was Jesus wept. You know why he wept? Most everybody says, and the scripture said, the people said, oh, he loved him so. What did he told his disciples? I'm glad it's for your cause that he has died. He wanted them to see his power. He didn't want them to doubt. When Martha came out there, she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. He said, your brother will live again. She said, I know he'll live in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. But she was doubting him, wasn't she? When Mary came out there, she said the very same thing. And he looked upon her and he said, where is the body? They all crying and weeping at that time. And he's saying, why can't you just trust me? He got a terrible taste of sorrow right there in that moment. We don't like to be called a liar. We don't like it when people don't believe in us. We don't like it when people do us in that manner. But then Jesus went to the garden and he prayed that prayer, and then his own came to him and betrayed him. You think that hurt? You think it brought pain? They took him. They bound him just like a slave. By the way, have you ever wondered why he was 30 pieces of silver? Judas got for him. That was the price of a slave. You ever thought about that? The day that Judas took that money, Jesus was considered a slave. And he took your place in that way. He took my place in that way. When he got down to the judgment hall in that day, they beat on him. They grabbed him by the beard. They lied about him. Think about that. How would you feel in that kind of circumstance? See, this is what this is all about, what Jesus did for you and me. As he went through all of that, the Bible says that they took him. After Pilate had cast his judgment, they said, you take him and you do as you would desire. Is what he told them in that day. Now I want you to think about something. They put the cross upon his shoulders. Man hadn't slept in better than 24 hours. He'd already been whipped. He'd already been beaten. He'd already been through many pains and sorrows. He was already bleeding. And during that time, they carried him up to the Calvary's cross. And there on Calvary's cross, and I say this so many times, I don't think they had to force Jesus' hands down. I think he laid them down freely. And that man put a nail in his hand, in his body. I think he folded his feet together for him, put them in his place. And that man took a nail and put it in his foot. Why would he do such a thing as that? Because that he loved you and I. You see, he gave his body in that day. He gave his body that you and I might be saved. Is what he did. Bible said in that day, or in that night before, I should say, that Jesus, after they had observed the Passover, that Jesus brought the bread to them, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which I give for thee." And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Then he blessed it. Let us bless the bread today that we take in remembrance of our Lord. And what I want you to do, as you pray, thank him for what he gave for you. Let us all pray as we bless the bread today. Our all-wise and heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for your many blessings to your Lord. There's many things upon each and every one of us' minds. The storms that went through, the waters that are about us, dear Lord. But Lord, we know that the sins of this life are like the storms, Heavenly Father. And we know that the waters that are about us, they flood our mind so much of the time. But in this day, dear God, I pray that we can all put those things aside for a little while, dear Lord. That, Lord, that we can remember your body. Lord, I won't call to remembrance in mind. Lord, I've done talk to the people about your body, Lord, and about what it's done. Lord, I remember the slavery of sin that I was under, dear God. And Lord, you brought me out under your blood. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that through your body and your blood that I'm saved today, dear God. Lord, I realize that this world, they see you in one light. But Lord, I see you through a spiritual eye, dear God, that you've allowed me to know your sweet salvation today, dear God. And Lord, I know it's only by thy body and blood that I am saved. Lord, without thee, there is no salvation. Lord, I love the scripture where it says, in no other name whereby that you might be saved. I remember your name, Jesus, in this day. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for all that you brought forth in this service today. And Lord, may it be a great remembrance to us all today, dear God, to serve you better, Lord. That, Lord, that we might be like you, dear Heavenly Father. Not just today, Lord, not just in these next few minutes, Lord, in which that we remember you, but Lord, may we take it home with us today, throughout the night, Lord, throughout the morning, Lord, of the next day, and throughout the coming weeks, Lord. May we keep these things upon our hearts, pushing sin aside, pushing the temptations of life aside, that, Lord, that we may serve you better, dear God, that we might be a better witness for you and look like you more, Lord, that we might be the light that we need to be. Lord, I pray that you will help us in this day. Lord, just to remember you in this day, doing all of these things in remembrance of you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this bread now, Lord. Lord, bless it to us, Lord. Lord, may it be something in our mouths, Lord, that just fills our souls with happiness and with joy. That, Lord, that we remember that body that was given for us. For it's in thy holy Son's name we do pray. Amen. We'll call two of our deacons, Brother Lanny, Brother Tom, if you will, that you may serve the church at this time. If you're a member of a missionary Baptist church at this time and you're in good standing with this church and would like to partake of this, as we said, we invite our visitors with us that you may come and partake with us also. But we ask that you come before the Lord in a humble manner at this time. Please stand if you wish to partake of this bread to remember our Lord at this time. The next portion of this service is the fruit of the vine. In this fruit of the vine, we represent the blood of Christ. It should be precious to us in this day. The blood of Christ was a wonderful thing. As I told the kids this morning, blood is the life force of the body. This body cannot live without the blood. When Jesus died on the cross, I think his body was completely drained of the blood. A lot of people says that his blood was spilled. You've heard me say this. It wasn't spilled. He shed it. That was a purpose. A lot of people says they took it from him. No, he gave it freely. He told Apostle Peter in the garden, after he'd cut the man's ears, the man's ear off, and he healed him, he said, "Do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels, and they would have delivered me?" He could have done that there on the cross, couldn't he? He had that kind of power. He could have summoned them. But he went the entire way on the cross. There on the cross, that soldier pierced his side, and out came blood and water. I've had people to tell me that that blood went down into the ground, and it may have. But God had a way of getting that blood back up. Sermon for another day is how Jesus took that blood into the holiest of holies of heaven and presented it to God, showing that he gave his life for you and I. That's what this fruit of the vine will represent today to each and every one of you. Let us pray again, because Jesus blessed the fruit of the vine also. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this day. Lord, I always enjoy remembering you. And Lord, I don't have to do it just on this day where we observe the Lord's Supper, but Lord, it surely makes it special. It's special to me, dear God, because I really think about your body in this day and what you went through. Lord, I've tried to imagine all the places where that you shed blood. And I'm satisfied that when they carried you into the hall of the priest and they judged you there, that when they were slapping you, that probably brought forth blood. I guess the times that we think about most is when they scourged you and your body was ripped, dear Lord, and the blood came forth there. I'm satisfied, Lord, that when they put the crown of thorns upon your head, that it brought forth blood, dear Lord, that run down your cheeks, even down your body, dear God. I realize when they pierced your hands, Lord, that it brought forth blood in your feet also, Lord. As you struggled there on the cross, dear Lord, with our sins, Lord, you wanted to finish the complete act, Lord, so you had to go up and down on that cross. Opening up those wounds in your back again, dear God, that allowed blood to free flow you again, Lord. And Lord, when everything was done, when you'd fulfilled every prophecy, when you'd fulfilled everything, dear God, you said it was finished. And just a little while later, you said, Lord, now I commit my spirit unto thee. When you had finished all of those things you needed to, Lord, then you gave up your life for us. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for your blood today. I know that the scripture says that it washes us from all sins. Lord, I'm so thankful for your blood today for that reason. Lord, this fruit of the vine that we take today, Lord, it's a lot sweeter than what you went through, dear God. But Lord, your blood is sweet to me. That Lord, that I may remember your life, dear God, and your life for us in that day. Lord, I thank you for that blessing today, dear God, of remembrance of your blood in this time. Lord, help us to always observe this the way we should, Lord. For it's in thy holy Son's name we do pray. Amen. Again, if you would like to partake of the fruit of the vine and you stood before, I would ask you to stand once again as the brethren pass among you, that you may observe the fruit of the vine of the Lord's Supper at this time. Would like to thank our brethren that have served you today in this service. In this service today, we, as I said earlier, we close it out different because it said that Jesus in that day, what he did was is after they had taken of the fruit of the vine, it said they sung a hymn and they passed out, went on out. As you leave this service today, I hope that you'll first of all remember the body of Christ. Remember his blood in this day. Remember that because of these things, you no longer have the bitterness of sin. If you're one today that does have that bitterness of sin, I hope you'll look unto the Lord and trust him to the saving of your soul. He's the only one that can help you in this matter. I'd love to be able to, but there's no man able. The only one that's able is Jesus Christ, our Lord. While we sing this song, let us remember the Lord. And when we have sung the verse, we'll pass out of the church at this time. Thank you for being here today.
Stand. Go ahead.